This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Uplifting conversation with the big guy during the break as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money on a Friday. Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. And last night was awesome. I want to talk to our good friend VSiN host and, without a doubt, unquestionably, the sharpest guy at VSiN. His name is Mike Somich. You can check him out. Big news on Saturdays and Sundays with Matt Brown on The Handle. Noon to 3 on Saturdays and Sundays. We say hi to Mr. Somich. Now, we do have Saratoga running. It looks like we got about 5 minutes to post on a race coming up. You didn't seem overly excited about that race, though.
No, not like it's a quality race from a Saratoga perspective. We got maiden special weights going 7 furlongs. So horses who have never won before. The favorite is a big favorite, the 10 horse here in this spot, off script, currently 1-4. So very short price for Chad Brown. Flavian Pratt rides. It's a one of those horses that should be favored. Run before, ran well in the first effort, should improve off of it. Not a horse I'm really interested in betting because of the price. If I want to take a shot here, if anyone out there wants to take a shot here, I have a little win bet on the 3-horse K Cup. For Jorge Abreu, Ired Ortiz rides. Jorge Abreu actually had the winner, first-time starter in the last race at Saratoga, and that horse was actually working with this horse, K-Cup, in the mornings. That horse was named Smooth Breeze. Smooth Breeze just won. K-Cup was out working Smooth Breeze. I'm willing to take a little bit of a shot here. Right now, 10-1 on the live line here for K-Cup, the 3-horse in the 9th race at Saratoga.
Well, I will say this. If you don't bet, did you say it was the 3 K-Cup?
K-Cup, yes.
K-Cup? Oh, I thought you said I thought you said C-A-K-E up, and I said, Dustin, based on what you have going on this weekend, if you don't bet K-Cup at Saratoga, then you've lost your mind.
Man, we're not talking about a bakery, people. No, I did bet the number 3, but at Gulfstream. The horse's name is For the Thrill. That's where I'm at. Race 9, Gulfstream, number 3, For the Thrill. What do I know about the horse? Nothing. I know that Mike likes the 3 at Saratoga, which means the 3 at Gulfstream is coming home.
It worked a couple weeks ago. Why wouldn't it work again now, right, Dustin?
I believe in it. I have a system, Mike. See, that's what people don't get. When you want to start betting on things, you have to have a system that you stand by. And my system's been very successful and profitable over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, stand for nothing, fall for anything. So that's your system. Somich, just as an aside, a personal aside, are we betting Del Mar together later?
You know, I haven't looked at Del Mar yet. I've been, like, slammed with this weekend. Kentucky Downs just started up. It's a really cool racetrack. It's got basically European-style racing, only turf races. They go up a hill. They go down a hill. There's one small turn. There's one wide turn. So I'm playing a tournament tomorrow, so I've added Del Mar and Kentucky Downs to tomorrow's card. So I haven't looked at Del Mar yet for tonight. But you know what, Patrick? Maybe I'll dive into it, shoot you over a couple pick fives, see if we can split them and hit something big.
By the way, I would just like to explain, when I ask Mike Somich, are we playing Del Mar together later, that's code for you sending me your plays.
So, I was wondering
nothing if not honest.
I was wondering what you brought to the table in that situation.
I got, as someone who bets horse racing all the time, trust me, that's the most commonly asked question from friends. Hey, are we playing something together later? Which just means I'm putting in the work, and then hopefully we can hit something. And if we don't, I get a little slack from them. I sent Patrick picks last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. They didn't win. Patrick's like, great job today, man. Great job.
The Kembe finger, the wag. I would never disrespect a friend like that. Hey, by the way, so yesterday we were talking about North Dakota State and Colorado. And by the time that one closed, a couple of shops were showing 12, but mostly 11.5. So the steam was going Colorado's way. I couldn't convince the big guy to get down on North Dakota State. I mean, that was free money to start the year. I don't know where you went. What was interesting in that matchup as well is on Thursday, Mike, we sat here. The total was 61. Got steamed all the way down to 54.5 and ends up 31-26 and cashes the over. So steam wrong both side and total on ND State and in Colorado. Did you get involved?
I wasn't involved in that game. I enjoyed watching it. It was one of those games where I thought you could learn quite a bit. ND State, a very good team when you're looking at just the lower levels of college football. So I wanted to see what Colorado looked like against them, specifically their offensive line, which is a big struggle for them last year. I thought it was really interesting, too. Colorado was trying to cover the spread. With 1:40 left in the game, they were hurling it down the field, which I thought was awfully interesting as well. Hunter had huge game. And I was shocked to see what his Heisman odds went down to. He's down to, I saw 10-1 in some places now to win the Heisman, which is a wild overreaction in my mind. Zero chance he ends up winning the Heisman this year.
Yeah, that was a big response and a big reaction in the market. Also a big guy. And didn't you tell me Hunter dropped as well?
Yeah, he went from about 50-1 down to 25-1. And, I mean, he's awesome, but he's also on the field for like 130 snaps a game. I'm not sure he's going to be as heavily involved in that offense. And they have Horn, who's another great option. By the way, can we please stop referring to him as Joe Horn's son? Jimmy Horn is not related to Joe Horn. Everyone did this with Jack Plummer a few weeks ago. Jack Plummer, you know, Jake Plummer's son. Are people aware that other people can have the same last name and not be related to each other? Like, I don't understand what's going on in the world.
You see, it feels like you're yelling at me and Mike, and neither of us did that.
No, I know. I'm looking at the camera because it's to America. You don't know how much longer I'll be able to do this.
A lot of people just find it easier to be lazy, Dustin. Not do the work and just roll in and just assume those type of things.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm lazy. You should know better then. I'm lazy, and I know, so you should know better.
Let's discuss a game coming up tonight, and I know it's a game you have a play on, Mike, and I'm very intrigued by this game. And of course, Jonathan Smith, he brings in Childs, but a complete roster overhaul. It's almost like Michigan State, East Lansing, they had to overhaul the roster just because of the Tucker mess and how things splintered last year. And here comes FAU. Now, we did see 14s on this game, but it has started to dip down. I'm looking at FanDuel and Jersey's 12.5, and mostly everybody right now is 13, with a relatively low total of 44.5.
Yeah, I mean, there was a group that came in at 14 and absolutely hammered this thing down. That's why we saw the movement earlier today to go from 14 down to this 12.5 number that we're currently sitting at. I don't have a play on the side. I did take a look at this over or this total though, and I played the over 44.5 in this spot. I agree with you. I think this is going to be a very different look Michigan State team. I know you guys were talking about how many transfers, how many new players they have come in. One of those is a All-American offensive lineman. The offensive line for Michigan State should be a lot better than what we saw in the past. Florida Atlantic's defense, I don't think is going to be able to stop or stand up to them. I do think we can expect Florida Atlantic to play fast, though, and that's why I like the over here. Tom Herman's coming in. He's going to play an upbeat style of offense here with this Florida Atlantic team, try and keep Michigan State on their heels from a defensive side where they just simply have more talent. I think Florida Atlantic's going to be successful on the offensive side at least a couple of possessions here, and if they are, I think this thing goes over a total of 44.5. I made it closer to 48 simply because of what I think the pace of play will be, so I took a little bit of the over tonight.
Do we feel like, Dustin, it's a little bit of an overreaction? Look, it's pretty starting to steady. Like Mike said, a big group came in, hit it from 14. It looks like it's starting to settle in pretty consistently across the market at 13.
I think there's an upside here with Michigan State. I initially wanted to get into this in Florida Atlantic when I just looked at the number, and the more I dived in, I feel like they're being priced and perceived like Mel Tucker still at charge, right? That he's still running this program. And he was clueless before all the allegations went down around this time a year ago. Jonathan Smith is a very good head coach. It was a great hire in the offseason. He covers as a home favorite. Michigan covers at home. They're good against non-conference opponents. I think too much is being made of Florida Atlantic and Tom Herman and what they're bringing to the table, where I would start to look at Sparty in this one. I think maybe there's a chance that Chill is the quarterback. We just had Anthony Heron on last hour. He's high on his upside. What if this is his coming out party and he just dominates this game?
Fair enough. A big guy. Samich, I know you didn't bet this game, but 145 Temple, Oklahoma. We just talked to Gable from the Borgata. He's got Temple, FBS, bottom three. I'm going on a bit of a limb. I don't think there's a chance, unless it's a turnover, that Temple scores in this game. And you can get no offensive touchdown by Temple, plus 105. I love the bet over at DraftKings. Temple's not scoring against Oklahoma here.
I don't hate it at all, Patrick. The Temple offense is abysmal. We saw Oklahoma's defense get better under Venerables last year. I think that they're going to continue that traction in this year, and you're going to see a pretty good Oklahoma defense here. This one opened sub 40. I know a lot of sharp money came in, pushed it over that 40 number. I don't have a play on the side. I missed that, the 39s and 39.5s that were out there in the market. For me, it's one of those. It's bet the Temple no touchdown. I like that look. I think that's one way to attack it, or maybe Oklahoma first half, because this is one of those games where I could see the big bully coming out and absolutely ripping apart Temple in the first half and then just taking it off the gas in the second half. And you don't see them covering the full game spread, but they do cover that first half number.
Thank you. And I appreciate you jumping on with that plus 105. Look, it's not a crazy price, but somebody has to because, you know, I found the number and the big guy kind of scoffing at it. Mm. Now that Samich is on board, will you jump in?
Yeah, I'll play it. You hold these things against me. You just...
Not for long.
That's true. Definitely virtually. Here's the thing. Temple was horrible a year ago. Somehow, I think they might have gotten worse. That's why I like your bet. Temple was horrible. They lost their quarterback, Kurt Warner's son. Legit, look that one up, by the way, kids. Confirmed it is Kurt Warner's son. He's now at Rice, where, by the way, I'm fading them against Sam Houston this week. The defense was horrible, got gutted. They lost 9 of their top 10 tacklers. And I think it's a great spot for Jackson Arnold, the quarterback for Oklahoma, just to get acclimated to the game and, you know, go through the playbook, go through his progressions, and take shots downfield. So, yeah, I'll back you on this one. I'll go no touchdown.
You can also get Temple team total under 7.5. That's minus 145 right now for the game. I think that's another way you can look at it. And they could even give up the touchdown.
Yeah.
The first half team total is half a point over minus 120, under minus 110. Half a point in the first half.
That's lit.
Oklahoma laying 27.5 right now in the first half. I would look toward Oklahoma first half for that team total Temple under 7.5 for the game.
And you said minus 135 or 145?
145, where I'm only looking at one book right now.
What's interesting about that. The only thing that concerns me about Temple putting points on the board is a turnover, pick it up, and run it in. That's it. So do I pay the $1.45 for the 7.5, or do I go no offensive touchdown, get the plus 105? Oh, I don't know. Maybe both, because that's just the mood I'm in. Hey, Dustin, did you see Samich's best bet? Down at the bottom of his notes, it's going to make you, in particular, it's going to make your dad happy. And we're going to talk about that coming back here on Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network on a Friday. Hope you're doing well, having a nice week. We are looking forward to, and again, you got to get up early, get your coffee on the West Coast, because, and that's for you, Samich, Mike Samich, VSiN host, professional bettor, joining Dustin Sweetelson, and I'm Patrick Maher here on Sharp Money. Get up early because we've got in Atlanta, the kickoff with Clemson in Georgia, 9 o'clock our time, noon your time on the East. And that is actually interesting. Maybe we should talk about that. And also, I want to bring up a theme that you two were discussing during the break, and that is a good week here in week one college football to back the dogs. Now, it looks like we're adjusting a little bit back to Georgia. So top two running backs there with Georgia out, Samich, and potentially some suspensions. Now, we sat on the show yesterday, and Georgia was laying 13.5. I saw a book go as low as 11, but we're starting to course correct a little bit here. 11.5s up to 12.5s, and I'm seeing mostly 12. So it looks like we're starting to slowly climb back up to Georgia, but a pretty significant move. An opener in some shops of 14 here.
Yeah, a decent move there. I mean, you go through 13, which is a semi-key number, not a huge number for college football, but a semi-key number that it goes down to. 11.5, I was starting to get a little interested. I don't have a bet on this game yet, but let me tell you, if George is missing a couple running backs, that's not enough in my eyes to move the line 2-3 points. And so if we had gotten down to 10, or even if I could have bought the 10 to avoid getting 10.5, I probably would have been interested in Georgia in this spot. I don't think we're ever getting down to that 10. I don't trust Dabo and what he's done in these last off seasons. The fact that you have a program where he could be very effective if he went to the transfer portal, but decides not to, just a mess, especially when you look at a Georgia team, which utilizes the transfer portal very well, able to go out and fill holes in their roster with star-studded players. This is a Georgia team. I'm not worried about the running back depth. That to me is just one of those spots where I realize it could make a little bit of a difference here or there, but Georgia's got a stable of backs, man. Moving a line 2 points against Clemson, surprising to me, just because you're missing two, maybe three running backs. They've got guys that can come in there and produce anyway. I'd be Georgia a pass here under 2 touchdowns, but I'm not going to make it to the window unless we get to 10.
Anything else on the suspensions, big guy?
No, I haven't seen anything official yet, but I'd also note that a lot of those go-to guys on critical downs for Carson Beck are gone. Ladd McConkey's gone. Brock Bowers is gone. Ra-Ra Thomas was supposed to step up as the number one. He's been kicked off the team. And I just think Georgia's a team that cares about winning football games. They don't care about style points. I don't believe in them covering. If this thing ended up going back again and getting shorter, I would think about Georgia. But right now, I love my position with plus 13.5 on the Tigers.
Okay, now I called this one a best bet. from Sam Obam, but it's just a bet. And that is Miami laying 2.5. It's interesting because I am looking at a couple of shops that are as low as 1.5, but mostly 2.5s in the market. Yeah, whoa, indeed. Miami, Florida at Florida. Let me just set this up for you, boys, and let's have some fun talking about it. First off, this is at the Swamp in Gainesville, and both head coaches certainly have a lot to prove. So Cristobal, he's 12-13 in his first two seasons at Miami, and Napier is 11-14. So they're both entering season three. That's arguably the worst two-year starts at their schools in a long-ass time. Now, I do think Cristobal is a little bit more entrenched. We talked to Andy Staples, who lives in Gainesville, and he believes the pressure is more on Napier here. It is a home game. We talked about Cam Ward, and certainly reasons to be excited about Cam Ward. Maybe those of you on the East Coast didn't watch him here out West, but he is spectacular. And I think the X factor could be the Oregon State transfer at running back, Samich, and Damian Martinez, who had a great year for Oregon State last year. He's now down at Miami. And Miami just built the trenches, both offensively and defensively. Not necessarily transfer portal, but just a hell of a job recruiting from Cristobal. I think Miami does have the talent here. I will, if I can find the 1.5, lay it.
Yeah, I mean, for everything that you can make fun of Cristobal for, not knowing when to take a knee, for example, you can't knock him for his recruiting. He's been able to recruit at Miami very well the last couple seasons. And you mentioned it. Everyone's talking about Cam Ward coming in, and Cam Ward's explosive. Look, he's a dual threat guy. He was very good at Washington State last year. But Damian Martinez might be the bigger ad here, or just as big of an ad for this Miami offense. It gives you an explosive running back who's a veteran presence back there in the backfield behind what is a very good offensive line. You also have two senior wide receivers, which should be good as well. So I think Miami has a pretty big advantage from a skill position perspective here. The defensive line strong for Miami as well. Should be able to create some havoc up front against Graham Mertz and that offense for Florida. I just couldn't get under 3. To me, that was the key number here. And we saw this game be a battle all summer. I mean, it was opened at Miami 2.5, moved to 3.5. People took the 3.5 with Florida. Now we're back to 2.5 in most places. There's some rogue numbers out there at the 1.5 number. I like the Canes minus anything under the 3 here. So I want to make sure I get the key number of 3. I think most likely you will see Miami win by 3 points. If this game were in Miami, I think this would be an 8 or 9 point spread. I think you'd see that big of a flip here for the home field flip. I think the fact that we're in the Swamp is what's keeping this number lower than what I think it should be. And because of that, I'll take the road dog here and lay the 2.5 with Miami.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that exact question. I was going to say 7.5, but you might be right. Now, they don't have much of a home field there, but you might be right. Might be steeper than 7.5. Dustin, your father went to Miami, which has turned you into a Miami fan. Samich and I are on Miami here.
Samich is a Miami fan too.
Oh, that's right. Sam Obam. Shout the Willis McGahee.
Showing up.
Oh, look,
he's
pretending to look for his Miami memorabilia so he could show off the fresh new fade. Did you see that?
What's he got?
I got the Dolphins helmet back here. The U helmet's in another room, so I can't pull that one out.
I don't think that's going to fit your head, dude.
The size too small.
I got the Dodger nachos and the plastic hat yesterday. Big guy, you would have been proud at the game.
I think I still have a Dodger plastic hat from my nachos like 8 years ago.
Call me a hippie. All I could think of, what a waste. Who's taking this home? Can we please recycle? Anyway, go ahead, Dustin.
Okay, can I tell you a quick story here?
Yes.
So 2003, I go home from college. The best man at my wedding gives me a gift for my birthday. And he's like, you're going to love this. It's autographed Craig Krenzel picture with him kneeling in the end zone for that Ohio State team against Miami. One of the most insulting gifts I've ever received. That game was so brutal. That Miami team back in 01, in my mind, the best college football team ever pulled off. And I still have that Craig Krenzel autographed picture in my garage right now.
Craig Krenzel, born and raised where I spent the first 12 years of my life, Sterling Heights, Michigan. And he was a donk. He was not a very good quarterback. The team was spectacular.
Craig Krenzel was the quarterback of the last NFL game I paid to go to, where he led the Chicago Bears in a comeback against the New York Giants, led by quarterback Kurt Warner in that game. And I refused to ever pay for an NFL ticket again.
Okay.
All right, the degrees Miami of separation so short for Craig Krenzel for all of us.
Where's Kevin Bacon? What's his thoughts on Miami? Anyway, what do you got, big guy?
Mario Cristobal, 7-15-1 against the spread in his career as Hurricanes head coach. He's also 1-4 straight up, games decided by 7 points or less a year ago. I think Patrick made a great point. Cam Ward's getting all the hype. This game is all about Damian Martinez to me. An elite offensive line for the Canes. They averaged 5.1 yards per carry a year ago. You look at Florida's defense. They gave up 27.6 points per game, 155.6 on the ground last season, and they lost their best run defender in the portal to Texas A&M. They're also 1-6 as a team when their opponents gained 3.5 yards per rush. I am looking at a prop on Damian Martinez over. And this is a great number because one book had 74.5. I got over 70.5 rush yards. He's cleared that number 10 times a year ago. UF, as I mentioned, bad against the run and lost their best run defender. And that Miami O-line is going to get a great push. On the road, it's all about running the football. Let's back Martinez.
You know what? I'm going to text a friend. She legitimately, her family has had Florida Gator season tickets, I believe, for 30-plus years, and I don't know if they've missed a game. I'm just going to go ahead and send out the text and just get vibes because the swamp is ridiculous. So I'm going to – oh, before I do, how about this, Samich? The big guy just forwarded this, and shout out to our guy, Ryan Pope. Thank you, Ryan. He emailed us, sharpmoney@vsin.com. FanDuel has Oklahoma to beat Temple in a shutout for plus 340. All right, on that game, there's a tab that just says shutout. So Oklahoma and a shutout. Nice little price to have some fun with a shutout in Venables against one of the worst offenses in football, plus 340. Does that price feel right to you, Samo?
It does. It's interesting. I would almost rather take your no offensive touchdown prop because I kind of agree with you. The way that the Temple ends up in the end zone is they get a defensive score. There's a pick or scoop and score, but they also could end up in field goal range and just pop three through late in this game, especially. That's what concerns me with the plus 340 on a shutout win there.
What about betting that, and then if it looks real, you get down on the Oklahoma team total in game?
Yeah, that's the beauty of this is that you can have so many different ways that you can attack these games now that you can find pretty much any market that or pretty much any game that you can find a market that you like to play. I still like Oklahoma first half the most. I think they come out. I think they thrash them in the first half. That's 27.5 right now. I don't love them full game because I'm worried they take off let off the gas there in the second half. But I think Oklahoma first half probably the best look.
I always say Samich is the hardest working guy in sports handicapping. He's betting Saratoga. He's got baseball plays. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 baseball. We'll come back with those. And he and I are handicapping Del Mar together. Okay, we'll continue Sharp Money. Mike Samich on a Friday here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a nice week. Of course, this weekend is jam-packed. You've got a bunch of college football. You got a great game on Sunday as well with USC and LSU. The big guy, if he gets back from L.A. in time, can go to the game because they're playing in Las Vegas. So that's good for you, Dustin Sweetelson. Mike Samich brought it up during the break, so I'll just go ahead and answer you. We're going to get into some baseball here in just a bit. I'll go ahead and answer you. Linkin Park is making a comeback. I don't know if y'all know this, but Oasis announced a comeback and sold out like 10 shows in 2 minutes.
Sure, they'll show.
Wembley.
Sure.
Yeah, what's the number for them, those shows actually happening?
One of them will show.
I'm sure you guys have both seen it. There's a great documentary on Oasis. It's either Netflix or Prime, and those two hate each other more than two people have ever hated each other.
Could have been the greatest band of all time. They had the potential.
Liam and Noel, your boy. So then Samich was like, Dustin out of nowhere, left field. He said, you know what I've been listening to a lot lately? John Denver and Slipknot. Sweet playlist. So then Samich comes at me with
diversity.
Did you get into that mashup with Linkin Park and Jay-Z? And that feels like something I would like. For some reason, fellas, that wasn't my thing. Now, Linkin Park is making a comeback as well for you, Samo, if you do like that vibe.
I enjoyed those. I was never a big Linkin Park fan. I did like Jay-Z quite a bit back in the day. But the Linkin Park Jay-Z mashups, they were phenomenal, man. Those things were bangers.
Dustin, were you into it?
I saw Linkin Park at Ozfest 2001. They were awesome. That was like in my wheelhouse of high school Linkin Park. And then I love the Jay-Z album. Even better, though, Danger Mouse did the Gray album, which was combining the Beatles' White album and Jay-Z's Black album. And that, to me, is like one of the greatest of all time.
Okay. Well, you are a hip-hop aficionado. So
technically, it's classic rock, too, technically.
If one band could make a comeback, putting you both on the spot, who would it be? I don't even have an answer.
Well, like, I bring people back from the dead, Nirvana.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe something that was actually
realistic.
Yeah.
I don't care enough about
you guys
music.
Think about that.
I don't know. I would have to care more about music to have someone in that list.
You know, as they say in broadcast, put a pin in it. And as they say in business, I was told this morning, we'll put a pin in it. North Carolina announced that quarterback Mac Johnson is out for the season. Hey, that's the good news there for Mac Brown, who just turned 74. He doesn't have a quarterback controversy anymore, and I'm not taking a shot at the kid, but it's going to be Harrell for the rest of the way for North Carolina, and I am bitter because I had the money line. No, I actually took the two with Minnesota. So we had a little bit of a pushy push, but a couple of missed field goals. Minnesota should have won that game. Did you touch that one, Samo?
Yeah, I had Minnesota money line. I played them back plus three in game, so I ended up breaking even on it. But man, it felt like Minnesota was the right side there. A couple of the short missed field goal was the painful one. The long one at the end of the game, you realize that's probably a 50-50 proposition, especially with college kickers, especially when that college kicker's already missed a short one. But man, like the turnover that they had, the fumble that they had inside their own red zone, which set up the field goal for North Carolina late, that was brutal. The fact that they couldn't get on the fumble from the North Carolina quarterback was rough. Felt like Minnesota was a better team, didn't get the result.
Rough to be on the wrong side of that one, big guy.
Well, I was on the right side, so I feel great about it. Max Johnson, though, prayers to him. Ooh. That stinks. Career's done in college. Was not very good. And then watching that game, I don't know if it's because they don't trust him with the playbook yet, but I did not see much out of Harrell to inspire belief. I think Mac Brown may be calling it quits after this year.
You're right about that, actually. This is, again, I don't want to bring the vibes down, but I feel remissive if we didn't mention it.
Well, they've been great.
No, Mike Somich is a huge hockey fan. So I do. Johnny Gaudreau and his younger brother Matthew, were both killed last night. Drunk driver. They were riding their bikes. It's a brutal, just horrific story. And I remember him, Johnny Gaudreau, because he was a Jersey legend. He was called Johnny Hockey. He went to Boston College. He's one of the best players, obviously. And then he was a star. You can maybe help me with this, but I believe made a ton of all-star games with the Flames and then signed a huge deal a couple of years ago with Columbus Blue Jackets and just an unspeakable loss.
Yeah, just an absolute tragedy to lose both the Gaudreau brothers. They were actually there for her sister's wedding, which they were both going to be best men in this weekend, too, just to add more to the blow. Just don't drink and drive, people. Like, the driver talked about it, how he was aggressive driving around someone because he thought he was slowing them down when he was really waiting for the bikers. It just doesn't make any sense to drink and drive. Don't do it. Tragedies happen when you do. And this is just a huge loss from a community perspective, too. I mean, everyone talking about Johnny Gaudreau today, all the stories that came out about what a good human being he was, what a good person he was, on top of being a phenomenal hockey player. I mean, he was Johnny Hockey for a while. He was a phenomenal at Boston College, went up to the Flames, was drafted up there, rejuvenated that franchise. Like you said, just signed a huge deal a couple years ago to head down to Columbus. And it's two men's lives who ended way too short and didn't need to. It's just a really unfortunate situation.
There are certain stories you read where you can't even like conceptualize or comprehend. And you think of 31-year-old and a 29-year-old and what those families are dealing with. And it certainly adds perspective. Go ahead, big guy.
Yeah, a hockey player didn't die. Someone's friend, someone's brother, someone's family member died. I think sometimes we get so caught up in, well, he's a hockey player and he was famous.
Good
and
point.
We knew him. Like, he was a human being that had an impact on other people's lives, and he's dead because some idiot decided to get behind the wheel after drinking in a world where it's so easy to avoid that.
Rideshare people, if we can leave Sharp Money with one message, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart as somebody that has been affected by this, it is so simple to grab a ride, and they are cheap. So do us a favor, rideshare. Okay, fellas, I apologize for doing that, but certainly our thoughts and prayers with the family. Cam Rising. So Kuthi and Rising, 5 touchdown passes. Utah, we are fascinated. Dustin and I were talking, and Dustin, you may still have the number. So Utah goes to Boulder, and just the dichotomy between Whittingham and Sanders with how those teams are coached and how they play, I am fascinated to watch that game. And I'm not an anti-Deion guy per se, Samich. I just think Utah is going to be so much more professional and buttoned up and put a beat down on a relatively loose Colorado team. Now, it's later in the year, but I just wanted to bring that up because Utah rolled last night.
Yeah, Utah looked great. It's interesting to see them transition over to the Big 12 here and what they're going to look like there. You think of those Pac-12 teams as, you know, these loose teams that have no defense, throwing the football all over the place. Utah is the exact opposite of that. Enters a Pac-12 or a Big 12 where they should be able to wreak some havoc there just with the physicality that they bring and their size that they bring. And then they're going to have all these games at home, teams that aren't used to going to altitude. They're going to go have to play at altitude in Utah as well. So I think it sets up as a very interesting story for them. Like if Rising able to win that Big 12, able to make the playoff, I think you could make a legitimate case for him as someone who has to be at least considered in that Heisman Trophy race. And yeah, the Utah-Colorado game going to be fascinating because Utah is going to try and do exactly what Oregon did last year when they went up there, which was take the game personally and win the trenches and just beat up on a Colorado team. And you know, Whittingham is like nothing more than to be able to do that.
Well put. Now, what is the effect? It's 9.5 Utah, 9.5 later in the year on the road in Boulder at Colorado. So what is the Dion effect? And here's your simple answer. Colorado's win over North Dakota State, an FCS program, peaked last night at $5.6 million. That's ESPN's best Thursday opener in 7 years and up close to 50% over last season's opener. So that's the just to contextualize it all, that is the impact. Hey, Samo, we were talking quickly about Ayuk. Ayuk, it worked. Ayuk got paid. He got paid like a wide receiver one. So he used his leverage. And San Francisco's that win now. They have to. And Dustin brought up a great point with Debo oft injured, Kittle oft injured, and certainly McCaffrey. They needed Ayuk. And that number went 3.5. A couple shops went to 4 on that Monday night with the Jets coming to town. Just an overview on Ayuk in potentially that Monday night game?
I think it was a phenomenal move by San Francisco. It felt like they had to sign Ayuk here. You mentioned, you know, they've got all these other stars, but they're also all their aging stars. I mean, Debo, Kittle, all guys that are getting up there, McCaffrey as well, that have been injured in the past in their careers as well. Ayuk is the one mainstay where you got this younger wide receiver who's really coming up to the peak of his career. And if you want to have Brock Purdy there, and you're going to have to eventually pay Brock Purdy, having Ayuk as his number one throughout his career is a nice duo that you have set up there in San Francisco. This is very much like maybe the last year or two of the window in San Francisco before you have to completely overhaul this team because of what you do have from a contractual point with Purdy and the age standpoint on both the offensive and defensive sides. I think this is a monster season here for San Francisco, and that opening week game against the Jets is going to be fascinating to me. The Jets defense, I think top three in the NFL, they're going to be able to create havoc against an offensive line, which I think is going to struggle. We'll see what we get from Trent Williams. He's still not in camp, not signed. We'll see if he's playing or not in this game. The Jets were a bigger dog in this game. We see consistent money coming in on the Jets side here. The Ayuk news brought it up a little bit, but I think everyone kind of expected Ayuk to play in that game. We'll see if Williams does. I would expect he does, but how ready to go is going to be a completely different question there. For me, it was Jets or pass over a field goal. If it gets to a field goal, I'd start looking toward the Niners side, but it's a tough one to bet because I don't know what to expect from Aaron Rodgers either. It's why I haven't made it to the window yet.
You know what? You just brought up a great point. Now, I don't think he loses his job, but is there a coach with the way the roster is constructed in the contract situation, is there a coach under more pressure this year than Kyle Shanahan? I want you two to think about that. We'll come back with the answer, and we'll get our bets in as well. Sharp Money, Samich is joining on a Friday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So I told you I have a friend in Gainesville. She's a Florida alum, but it's a long lineage. Her dad went there, her mom went there, her sister went there. They've had season tickets. So I said, can I get a vibe check on what's happening tomorrow at the Swamp with Miami coming to town? A little rivalry. She said the vibes are it's 3:30. Which is a perfect amount of time for the crowd to get rowdy enough at the tailgate and make the Swamp tough to deal with. I said, perfect. She said, this is just her talking, not me, people. She said, Gator fans were told to wear white. So look for that on TV. Gator fans were told to wear white. So I have a really cute white crop top and blue shorts. So I'll be cute. That's a vibe too. I said, okay, I'm going to read this when we come back from commercial. And she said, I'm sure your audience would love to take their betting advice from my crop top vibes. I said, you underestimate our audience.
Yeah, can we get some picks?
I think Patrick might be driving to Gainesville as soon as the show's over.
I think somebody might be flying to Hermosa.
Post-game activities.
You feeling me, big guy? Sam Obam. Okay. The bubble's up, so I'm getting excited.
Oh, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling. Because it's just like right now, I don't know what she's going to say next, but I'm excited about it. Let's go, boys. Let's get one. Tan Aaron Halterman, who has been just... How would you classify his participation on Sharp Money for 2 years, big guy?
He's part of the founding family. Like, look, it's you and I first, and then Samich is a bigger part than just a guest. And I would say Aaron Halterman's more than just a guest. Like, he's a part of the show. I mean, he's probably giving out more picks on the show than you, if we're being fair. Oh, he doesn't like the text. He looks a little angry.
Yeah, that's a salty
no,
piss.
No.
Okay. Here is our guy, Aaron Halterman. His podcast is Dudes Who Bet Sports and RacingDudes.com for all the handicapping with a Sharp Money Family Play for Friday.
Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Let's try to round out the week with another victory here. Good start to the college football season last night. Did not go college football today, though. Kind of a weak slate. Didn't really like anything on the docket. But let's go to the diamond. Let's go back to a team we've been betting a lot. Baltimore Orioles minus a run and a half at plus 105 today as they go to Colorado to take on the Rockies. A huge game, really, for Baltimore. They've been in a slump. They really need to start winning. They've fallen behind the New York Yankees as far as the division race goes. So we'll see. They really need to win two of three or three of three here in Colorado. Austin Gomber is on the mound for Colorado. That means runs today for the Orioles. I wouldn't mind if you played a team total over for the Orioles either, because I think they're going to score. But I like the plus money price laying the run and a half a little bit more. That's why I went that way. Albert Suarez on the mound for the Orioles. You know what you're going to get out of him. If he just kind of does his job, does what he normally does, I really believe they're going to score enough runs to cover this pretty easily. So for my best bet of the day, I'm going to go a Baltimore Orioles minus a run and a half at +105.
Okay. And Samich, you actually mentioned that you did like the Halterman play.
I do like the Halterman play here. I tacked it a different way. I agree on the Gomber side, giving up an earned run in 15 straight starts. He was actually very good the first couple months of the year. He's been very bad the last 3 months or so. I took the team total, Baltimore, over 2.5 first five. It was minus 135 when I bet it. I saw at some places minus 142 when the show was starting. You could play over three, so three would be a push, and that one was minus 105 where I saw it. So Baltimore first half team total, I played over 2.5. I would be comfortable playing the three as well. I think they're going to put up some runs, especially early in this game. And the wind's blowing slightly out. Sunny day in Colorado, so great hitting conditions as well. And Patrick, I did do a little more research for you. Not sure if you know this. Closest airport to Gainesville, Orlando. And right now, on Delta, round trip ticket, only $358. Or you could throw her on Spirit, one stop, only $153 round trip.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, my friend in Gainesville checks in. She said, Miami might try to claim the U, but the University of Florida graduates have been brainwashed to think that they are the only actual college in the state. So hopefully swag plus Eagle will help the boys win. I don't know what she's talking about, but she's dialed in.
I always find it weird. What's the point of being in Florida if you're one of the landlocked cities like Orlando or Gainesville? Like, to me, it's so the whole point of the peninsula is to get some of the Atlantic or the Gulf.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just going to leave that alone for now. We'll go ahead and close that message out.
She's taking it a little too seriously.
Yeah, well, it's just, that's a post-show conversation. let's get to the bets. I know, Samo, you've got a bunch of baseball plays. You can find the best bets every single day over at VSiN.com from all the hosts across VSiN. And you have a bunch of baseball. Pick two.
Let's go with the Braves Phillies here. Let's lay the half of a run for the Phillies in the first five. You can get minus a half run, plus 108 for the Phillies. Playing against Lopez here on the mound for the Braves, sitting with a 2.02 ERA. His expected ERA is double that, over four-run ERA there. Suarez on the mound for Philadelphia. Like the Phillies' offense more than what the Braves are currently throwing out there. So we'll take better pitcher, better offense, lay the half run first five with the Phillies here, plus 108. And then I'm going to lay the first the half run with the Guardians as well. You got Lively on the hill taking on Falter for the Pirates. Again, better offense, better pitcher, and you can catch plus money right now, plus 107, laying the half run with the Guardians. So Phillies minus a half run first five, plus 108. Guardians minus a half run first five, plus 107.
All right, big guy, you're up.
All right, we're going to look at the Virginia Tech running back, Tootin. Anytime, first half, touchdown, plus 125. I didn't want to lay minus 180 in the full game. Taking on Vanderbilt. Horrible run defense. Teams ran all over them a year ago. Fourth in yards per game in the country allowed. I really like him to find the end zone early. Scored 10 touchdowns in 13 games in a limited role a year ago. Let's also go TCU minus 9. We touched on Damian Martinez for the Miami Hurricanes. Over 70.5 rush yards. Also, here's a long list. Fresno State plus 21.5 at Michigan. I think the number's way too big with everything Fresno State has back. I'd also say Old Dominion plus 20 and a hook at your South Carolina Gamecocks.
South Carolina is terrible this year.
And this program 2 years ago went on the road to Blacksburg and won outright. I don't think they can win outright at South Carolina, but South Carolina has a lot to replace, and the O-line still stinks. The rest of the play is available, vsin.com/picks.
All right, big guy. Good job. Dustin, always good in college football. I'm going to have some fun with that Temple-Oklahoma game. Temple doesn't score an offensive touchdown plus 105. I like that. I'm on the opposite side. I'm going to take the 9 with Stanford. You can lay the 8 if you're with Dustin on TCU. And tonight, was there one more that I would say? You know what? I'm taking Western Michigan. I'm catching the 24 at Wisconsin. Samo, anything else from you?
I played LSU minus the 4. That game opened at 6. We saw some money come in on USC. It got down to 4 on Monday. I played it at 4, sitting at 4.5. If we see more USC money come in, I would be interested again at 4. Dr. Bob gave that one out. That's why we saw the move from 6 to 4 on the USC side. He took USC plus the 6. 4 is my buy number on LSU. So if you can get 4 again, I'd take LSU on Monday night at 4.
Okay. Wonderful. Great job, Mike. Appreciate you. But don't go anywhere. We have 2.5 minutes, and we're going to close some tabs, which is a fun way to end the program, big guy.
Should I open the text you sent me later? Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. Oklahoma laying wood net right now. That is a quote from Patrick Maher during the show, and God willing, I will join them this weekend. Mike, haircut looks phenomenal. What is the product you use in there?
Axe hair gel. It's a cheap little $8 thing of hair gel.
Axe, are you 12?
Well, you know what, though? A little bit of a flex to have that nice of lettuce and just use something from CVS. That is tremendous.
Yeah, the great clips in CVS, baby. That's the hair care style here.
Both Patrick and I think Mike maybe too, said whoa during the show. Just want to give a shout out to Joey Lawrence for inventing whoa. First person I know I ever say it. I don't think people understand how big he was in the 90s. Also, some news broke during the show. We didn't get to touch on it, but One Tree Hill is going to have a sequel series that's launching. Just I'm excited for it. I don't know if you two are.
Is that going to be Two Tree Hill?
That's a good one. Hey. Let's see. 1905 on this day, Tigers Hall of Famer Ty Cobb made his Major League debut. Also, happy birthday, Ted Williams, born on this day in 1918. The Chief Robert Parrish, Cameron Diaz, and my favorite born on this day, BB Rexha. Let's go, BB Rexha.
There you go. Anybody know Ty Cobb's nickname?
The Georgia Peach?
Nailed it.
Or the racist guy?
Quickly, 1 minute to go. I just want to throw out Elon Duke. Do either of you have a play? It's kind of random, but it's getting hit down a little bit, 22.5 with Duke laying it. And 48.5, 49 on the total. Either of you?
I don't, but I would lean on the under in Lehigh and Army. Lehigh can't throw the ball, and I think Army's just going to get out there running, and they're going to do their thing, but they're not going to run up the score on Lehigh, a historic program. I would lean under in that one.
Sama,
yeah, I looked at that Duke game. I considered Elon plus the 24 when that was out there. Now that it's lower, I'm going to pass on it. But it's dog or pass for me in the Elon Duke game.
Okay, Mike Somich, The Handle, coming up on Saturday and Sunday, noon to 3 Eastern. Dustin Sweetelson, thank you very much. We had Big Ant Anthony Heron on the program. Thank you very much. Thomas Gable was tremendous as well. And, of course, the star, Mike Somich. We'll see you on Monday here on Sharp Money.